Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue with my teaching titled, The Book of Romans, Our Guidebook for Christian Living, which I began on March 17th. This teaching is a verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament book and will provide the listener important details that will give all of us insight on how to live in victory by applying the biblical principles that Apostle Paul shares with us. When I speak of the book of Romans as a guidebook, I'm referring to a manual of information that will give the Christian the ability to live life skillfully in Jesus. It is a guide to a godly lifestyle that may be unknown or unfamiliar to some of you. Therefore, Apostle Paul wrote this book with the intention to lead us to the knowledge of God's New Testament promises, give us understanding on how to operate successfully through applying God's Word, His promises to our life, and as a result, live according to God's wisdom as more than conquerors. It is no secret that the more we know and come to understand God's holy word, the easier it will be for each of us to apply the promises of God to our life by faith. It is through developing and becoming strong in faith that we not only please our Heavenly Father, but also come to experience the more than abundant life in Jesus, the kind of life that gives us the victory over all the challenges of life. If you are tired of being a victim of Satan and his demonic assignments, you need to be part of this weekly teaching. For this teaching, I have selected two key verses from the book of Romans for our foundational passage. Please go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I will be reading verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. Verse 17 says, for in the gospel the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed in a way that awakens more faith. As it is written, and forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by his faith. If you are not with us from the beginning of this teaching, or would like to re-listen to any of the previous programs aired, I invite you to go to our website at kccfc.net to hear any of the episodes now archived under our radio page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. For this study, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now let's continue where I left off last week, We finished examining chapter 11, verse 35, when I ran out of time. Please go to the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 36, and we will complete this chapter by reading the final verse for chapter 11. This particular chapter, the major topic was Israel is not cast away. Let's read from the Bible, verse 36. It says, "For from him all things originate, and through him all things live and exist, and to him are all things directed. To him be glory and honor forever. Amen." Here's my comment regarding verse 36. The awesomeness of God is clearly seen in his creation. God, our Heavenly Father, is the originator of all things that live and exist on this earth and beyond in this universe. I want to share with you an awesome DVD that I purchased some months ago that really highlights what I'm talking about in terms of how wonderful our God is. So for the next few minutes, I want to share with you what I believe is a remarkable accounting of God's creation. I recently purchased a DVD series titled The Wonders of God's Creation. It was created by Moody's Institute of Science, and many of the professors interviewed on this series believe in God because of their research and scientific findings. A couple of months ago, I viewed two of the 10-part series that talked about the Milky Way and our solar system. Here are some facts that they shared that caught my attention and speaks directly to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that says, "For ever since the creation of the world, his," referring to God's invisible attributes, "his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through his," God's "workmanship. All his creation, the wonderful things that he has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in him are without excuse and without defense." Now, if you need more supporting scripture, you may want to turn your Bibles to Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, and Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Include those in your study time. Here are the DVD facts that I want to share with you. The scientists explained that man has been able to travel into space and obtain data because each planet rotates and follows a precise orbit. There is no deviation. It is the same day after day, year after year, century after century, in a steadfast pattern. You can count on the precision of each planet's orbit. God does all things decently and in order. The supporting scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. And he does not change. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Here's another DVD fact. Our universe is so large that man has not yet been able to travel to the end of its space. As a result, they measure space by the distance that light travels in 1 year, which is nearly 6 trillion miles. Here's another fact. Our universe is so large that science calculates that there are 100 trillion galaxies in our universe, and each galaxy has 200 trillion stars. Now, I don't know about you, but there is a God, a living God, who has given us a living Savior, Jesus the Christ. And he is wondrous and merciful and loving and kind, and he created all of this and more. So just keep that in mind as we go through our scriptures, as God has revealed himself through his word, so that we can come to know him and appreciate all that he's created on our behalf. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 12. The major topic for Romans chapter 12 is dedicated service. Dedicated service. Let's read verse number 1 from the Bible. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is our rational, logical, intelligent act of worship." Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. First, I do want to read the footnote in my Bible, and it highlights living sacrifice. And it says, in the Old Testament sacrificial system, the job of the sacrificial lamb was ended with its death. An individual or household selected an animal according to the dedicated forms, and it was sacrificed to cover sins. Since Christ became the final atonement for sin, we no longer need the old system. But Paul is calling believers to consider their whole life as a sacrifice dedicated to God and his purpose, a living sacrifice, both holy and single-minded. Here's my comment regarding verse number 1. Apostle Paul tells us to present our body. That's the key phrase that I want to highlight. And presenting our body must include spirit, soul, and body. Our life in Christ should dictate how we operate in the spirit, how we operate in our soul, which controls our mind and its thoughts. And it should dictate how our flesh or body operates daily. In other words, presenting our body means our total being must line up with God's word. Also notice that Paul tells us to be a living sacrifice. God does not want us to be martyrs, but to live in victory in Jesus. As a result, we will be blessed and draw others to Christ. It is God's children that have the answer to all of man's issues, and we must be prepared and willing to share the good news to the dying world. Living godly is an act of worship and brings glory and honor to our Heavenly Father. Again, God is not asking us to die for Him. He is asking us to live the abundant life that Jesus paid for with His life, death, and resurrection. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read verse number 2 from the Bible. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you." Here's my comment regarding verse number 2. I want to begin by reading the footnote in my Bible. The footnote highlights walking in the Spirit. And it says, "Confession of sin in itself is not enough to enable the believer to automatically walk in the Spirit. He or she must learn to yield their whole self to God. This involves both the body and the mind, since what is conceived in the mind is carried out by the body. One's whole being must be presented by a decisive act of the will to God for His service. Yielding leads not only to dedication, but also can result in separation. Do not be conformed to this world. Finally, yielding includes transformation of the mind. This work is said to be accomplished through the lifetime of renewing the mind. Man's mind has been darkened by sin and must be brought to the place where it thinks as God thinks. This renewing is said to come especially through prayer in everything, and through constant meditation on the Word of God. This transformation is a lifelong process that will not be completed until we are with Christ. All right. I also want to share a few words of what I believe is important regarding that one verse. We are not to conform to this world. The key phrase then is not to conform to this world. Conforming to this world is easy to do if we do not take the time to study and allow the Holy Spirit to direct our path. Satan is in the church, and he is deceiving Christians to believe in his hate, jealousy, and greed. Satan is causing discord among the brothers. We must not submit to Satan's lies. If something or someone is stealing, killing, or destroying, it is not from God or inspired by the Holy Spirit. Know for yourself what the Word of God says so you can recognize and avoid Satan and his assignments. How do we mature spiritually? By reading, studying, and doing God's Word every day. It is the Word of God that renews our mind and gives the Holy Spirit something to bring back to your remembrance in the time of trouble. God's will for all mankind, especially his children, is found in the Holy Bible. So we have the answer to everything Satan tries to bring against us. There is no excuse for defeat. Be anxious for nothing. Now, I do want to read from Philippians chapter 4. I'm only going to read verses 6 and 7, and I will be reading out of the New King James Bible. I want you listeners to pay close attention because you could become anxious when you look around you and see what's going on, and you may be fearful. But here is what the Word of God tells you to do. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In other words, earnestly ask, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace, the Prince of Peace. And when you see things going on in your family, in your community, in this nation, in the world, that's the time to put spiritual pressure on Satan by praying in faith, claiming the promises that God has given us in his holy word, and change the circumstances of life. All right, let's go to verse number 3. In the Bible, it says, for by the grace of God given to me, I say to every one of you not to think more highly of himself and of his importance and ability than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment. As God has apportioned to each a degree of faith, and purpose designed for service. Here's my comment regarding verse number 3. When we look at those who are deceived and acting like their father Satan, we may feel like we are better than them. However, remember that only through the grace of God go we. I know for myself that I was raised in a Christian home, but it took me many years to finally and totally submit to God's word. Satan had me deceived, and I lived ungodly for many years. Even though in Jesus I was saved and set free from the bondage of sin, I chose to live in bondage by being disobedient to God's word. When we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, we all receive the same measure of faith, which we are responsible for developing and then using against Satan. No one receives more faith than anyone else. Everyone receives the same measure, but those who learn how faith works and then use their faith against the challenges of life will grow and mature in Jesus. They will grow from weak faith to strong faith. This is our responsibility as Christians. All right, let's read verse number 4 from the Bible. It says, "For just as in one physical body we have many parts, and these parts do not all have the same function or special use." Here's my comment regarding verse number 4. Paul gives us a spiritual law by way of a natural example that we are all familiar with. We all possess a physical body which has many parts, and each part has a specific function. We do not say that one part is better than the other because we need them all. When each of our physical parts are functioning as they were divinely designed, we are whole and living at our full capacity. All right, let's read verse number 5 from the Bible. It says, "So we who are many are nevertheless just one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of another, mutually dependent on each other." All right, here's my comment regarding verse number 5. In like manner, as Christians, we are one in Jesus, and each of us make the whole body of Christ. Each Christian has unique gifts and talents that the body of Christ needs to complete the work God has for us to do. Satan is well aware of this and works hard to keep God's children divided, fighting against each other and sowing discord among the brethren. I want to read from book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. The reason I'm going to be reading this passage is to highlight what God hates. And if God hates it, we should too. All right, I'm going to start with verse number 16. It says, "These 6 things the Lord hates. Indeed, 7 are repulsive to him. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. A lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood." Verse 18, "A heart that creates wicked plans, feet that run swiftly to evil." And verse 19 says, "A false witness who breathes out lies, even hath truce, and one who spreads discord, rumors among brothers." Family, if you are involved in such acts, you are not operating according to God's word. You are not sharing the love of Jesus. And please repent and ask God to forgive you and move forward by being obedient to God's word. And God's word says that we should love one another. All right, let's read verses 6 through 8 from the Bible. The Bible says, "Since we have gifts that differ accordingly to the grace given to us, each of us is to use them accordingly. If someone has the gift of prophecy, let him speak a new message from God to his people in proportion to the faith possessed." Verse 7, "If service in the act of serving, or he who teaches in the act of teaching," or verse 8, "or he who encourages in the act of encouragement." He who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy in caring for others with cheerfulness. Here's my comment regarding verses 6 through 8. In verse 6 through 8, Paul identifies the different gifts that God has placed in his church for the service of his people. Know your gifts and develop them. Your God-given gifts and talents are usually those things that give you joy to do and share with others. In verse 6, Paul names the gift of prophecy. Now, under the Old Testament, prophecy was used to foretell the future. Under the New Testament, prophecy is spoken to exhort, edify, and comfort the church. A supporting scripture can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 29 through 33. In verse 7, Paul names the gift of serving, also known as helps ministry, and the gift of teaching. Helps ministry includes, but is not limited to, ushering, hostess, bereavement, translators, parking attendants, and alike. You can find supporting scripture for these various types of service in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Teaching includes Bible studies and church services for all ages and gender. To be an excellent teacher, you must study and spend time with the Holy Spirit to grow in knowledge and wisdom. As a teacher, you must strive to teach with accuracy and clarity. A supporting scripture for this gift is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. In verse 8, Paul names four gifts. The first gift is the gift of encouragement, also known as exhortation, which consoles and comforts. A supporting scripture for this gift is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. The second gift mentioned is the gift of giving with generosity, giving to your church home, other ministries, to those you know are in need, can be included under this gift.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.